नद्योस्य नद्योऽथ तनूरुहाणी महीरुहा विश्वतनोर्नृपेन्द्र अनन्तवीर्यश्वसितं मातरिश्वा गतिर्वयः कर्मगुणप्रवाह नद्योस्य नाड्योऽथ तनूरुहाणी महीरुहा विश्वतनोर्नृपेन्द्र अनन्तवीर्याश्वसितं मातरिष्वा गतिर्वयः कर्मगुणप्रवाह नद्योस्य नाड्योऽथ तनूरुहाणी महीरुहा विश्वतनोर्नृपेन्द्र अनन्तवीर्यश्वसितं मातरिष्वा गतिर्वयः कर्मगुणप्रवाह नद्योस्त नाड्योऽथ तनूरुहाणी महीरुहा विश्वतनोर्नृपेन्द्र अनन्तवीर्यश्वसितं मातरिष्वा गतिर्वयः कर्मगुणप्रवाह Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Word to word translation. Nadyaha, the rivers, asya, of him. Nadyaha, veins, athaha, and thereafter. Tanuruhani, hairs on the body. Mahiruhaha, the plants and trees. Vishvatanoho, of the universal form. Nripa Indra, O King. Anantaviryaha, of the omnipotent. Shvasitam, breathing. Matarishva, air. Gatihi, movement. Vayaha, passing ages. Karma, activity. Gunapravaha, reactions of the modes of nature. O King, the rivers are the veins of the gigantic body, the trees are the hairs of his body, and the omnipotent air is his breath. The passing ages are his movements, and his activities are the reactions of the three modes of material nature. The personality of Godhead is not a dead stone, nor is he inactive, as is poorly thought by some schools. He moves with the progress of time, and therefore he knows all that. All about the past and future, along with his present activities. There is nothing unknown to him. The conditioned souls are driven by the reactions of the modes of material nature, which are the activities of the Lord. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita 7.1.2, the modes of nature act under his direction only, and as such, no natural functions are blind or automatic. The power behind the activities is the supervision of the Lord, and thus the Lord is never inactive or is wrongly conceived. The Vedas say that the Supreme Lord has nothing to do personally, as is always the case with superiors. But everything is done by his direction. As it is said, not a blade of grass moves without his sanction. In the Brahma Samhita 5.48, it is said that all the universes and the heads of them, the Brahmas, exist only for the duration of his breathing period. The same is confirmed here. The air on which the universes and the planets within the universes exist is nothing but a bit of the breath of the unchallengeable Virata Purusha. So even by studying the rivers, trees, air and passing ages, one can conceive of the personality of Godhead without being misled by the formless conception of the Lord. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is stated that those who are much inclined to the formless conception of the Supreme Truth are more troubled than those who can intelligently conceive of the personal form. Hare Krishna. O King, the rivers are the veins of the gigantic body. The trees are the hairs of his body. And the omnipotent air is his breath. The passing ages are his movements, and his activities are the reactions of the three modes of material nature. So Sukadeva Goswami is recommending the process of Ashtanga Yoga to King Parikshit with the intention that he may not accept it as the supreme path of perfection. But nevertheless, he's beginning to give this process because he wants to uphold the superiority of the of Bhakti Yoga. So you cannot present something as good unless you have something to compare it with. So therefore, he is presenting the most popular of all yogic processes, which is Ashtanga Yoga. The first process which began in the age of Satyuga and still the most popular. Popular because it is meant for those who are very much bodily absorbed. It's very popular amongst them. Even today, you see, even though it is not the age for Ashtanga, Kaliyuga, it's meant for Satyuga, but still people very enthusiastically want to learn, practice. We have an International Yoga Day This does not mean any karma yoga or jnana yoga or bhakti yoga, but it is ashtanga yoga primarily. Where people are going around with their yoga mats and doing pranayama. And so, it is just the practice of yam and niyam and little bit, asanas. That's all that they do, and pranayama. But the actual process is very elaborate. The eightfold ashta anga yoga, the eightfold path of yoga, and beginning with yam, niyam, asana, pranayam, pratyahara, dhyan, dharana, samadhi. So, beginning with following the rules and regulations, that means yama, which means the do's, niyama, the don'ts, and asana, what is popular, that perfecting your different postures, especially if you want to come to the stage of higher stages, you have to perfect the posture of sitting in Padmasana. It's called as Padmasana because when you sit in that posture, your legs look like the petals of a lotus. So therefore, Padmasana. Then you practice pranayama, the breathing exercises, where you control your breath, which leads to subjugation of the mind, control of the mind. Further on, then you withdraw the senses from the sense objects, pratyahara. Eventually, when the mind gets more and more controlled. And then here, the stage that Shukdev Goswami is recommending is on dharana, the precursor to dhyan, where it involves a practice of meditation, where it involves calming the mind, steadying the mind initially, because yoga means yogas chitta vritti nirodha. The goal of yoga is to eliminate the agitations of the mind, material agitations, contemplations of the mind. Yoga chitta vritti nirodha. So then one practices the meditation on a point. Now, we can see that the meditation is on the form of the Lord. Even in the Gita, Krishna says that Kani sarvani samyamya yukta asita mat paraha. So, after you have perfected all the other processes, then you have to meditate on me, mat paraha. Of course, this nobody knows. No yoga teacher today, tell about this process of meditating on Krishna or meditating on Vishnu, or for this context here, Shukdev Goswami is recommending meditation on the universal form of the Lord. And how to visualize the universal form of the Lord, and that has been described in the previous verses, and now in this verse he says that when you see the rivers, they meander, traversing large landscapes, ebbing and flowing and bending and curving, and exuding different colors, blue, green and grey sometimes, especially if you observe them from a height, you can see they move like veins, like in the body also there are veins. They look similar and also their functions are similar. Just as river carries essentials like silt and other necessities of life for the sustenance of civilizations along its banks, so also the veins, which are like conduits carrying the life principles and sustaining the various cells in the body. So even looks similar and the functions are also similar, and the Sanskrit word for them is also similar. Nadyo, nadyo. So just as there is a soul in the body, physical material body, so also the universe is a universal physical body of the Lord, and the Lord is actually the super soul. So to begin with, he is giving these analogies that the rivers are like veins and the trees are like the hairs on the bodies, and the movements of the air is like his breathing, and the passing of ages are his movements, and his activities are the reactions of the three modes of nature. So it's a wonderful contemplation, you know, to see it like that and to consider the sun and the moon as his two eyes, the 14 planets beginning with the Atala, Vitala, Patala, and being the feet, front and the back. And so it is definitely a very elaborate description. And even the description is very terse and difficult to conceptualize and understand. Then what to speak of the actual practice of meditation. So definitely it is a challenge, because the question can be raised as to, if you have to meditate on the form of the Lord, one who has no physical form, how can you arrive at the ultimate contemplation if you are simply meditating on a physical form of the universe? How can something material lead you to something spiritual? So definitely, because it has been recommended as a medium, just as you know you have yajnas, which is also a material activity. There are physical elements involved, you're putting in all material things, and fire is also in a way material, and but it leads to a spiritual destination. Yes, just as performance of one's duties in karma yoga, also it's a material duties you're performing, but Krishna says nityam yajna pratishthitam tasma sarvagatam brahma nityam yajna pratishthitam. But still that physical activity leads you to a spiritual goal, destination, that means leads you to the Supreme Lord. Because in the preliminary stages we have no conception of how God looks, and you know what is the form of God. That is begs the question, that if you have to contemplate on Krishna, his spiritual form, what is his spiritual form? Does he actually have a form that like the way we conceive form? Like, you know, for example, say if a person has to be represented, if you see a profile photo of a person and you say that, okay, his photo. But you see that people's photos also change after some time. Like, isn't it? Like, after a few years, 10-15 years, you have to change your profile photo. Because you age, you may put on weight, you may lose weight. You may change your hairstyle. You may keep a beard. Or you may, you know, just grow old, basically. And the soul never ages, but its material forms are changing. So how do you represent the soul in this world? It's difficult. So how do you conceptualize? What is the soul, basically? It's difficult to comprehend that, you know, whether the soul has the form that we think in physical terms. Even if you see the deities of the Lord, say Radha Gopinath, Radha Krishna, yes? All ISKCON temples have Radha Krishnas. But all the deities of Radha Krishna look different. Radha Gopinath looks different from Radha Rasbihari. Radha Rasbihari looks different from Radha Giridhari. Radha Giridhari looks different from Madan Mohan. Even Krishna's form is different. Some deities are made of black stone, some deities are made of metal, golden. And they are all Krishnas. Naturally, if you have, say, many photos of one person, they should be looking the same. If the photographs look different, then you will say the person is different. But the deities of Radha Krishna, all they are Radha Krishna, but they are also different. It is difficult to say it is the same person. I mean, threefold bending form is okay. So, the one, of course, devotees understand. If you see a threefold bending form, if you see a peacock feather, you see a flute, alright, you know, Sat Chit Ananda, yes, Krishna. Now, even the Shilpakar, even the sculptor who's making the form of the Lord on the stone, he may have his own conception of beauty. His endeavor is to make a beautiful form of the Lord. But you see, the sculptors sculpting deities today is different from the way the sculptors sculpt deities in the past. You go to Tota Gopinath, you see Krishna deity there. So different. You see Vitthal in Pandharpur. So different. And different posture also. Tota Gopinath is also sitting. That's not even threefold bending form. He's sitting. Vitthal is standing. When the conception of beauty is different in people's minds, as time flies, time passes, people's conception of beauty changes. Some people want a deity in white marble. Me kale me kya na dikhta nahi. Where is the eyes? Where is the nose? Everything is just like, it's difficult. When the sculptor, sometimes some people want a broader forehead, some people want longer eyes. And the sculptor also sculpts differently based on. That's why it takes so much of time for people who are welcoming deities in their home to finalize the deity. Hey, humko thoda sa aankhon ko thoda sa aisa karna hai, aisa painting hai. So what is the actual form of the Lord is it probably a question which many people may be asking, that how does Krishna actually look like? So obviously the answer is that you can't visualize, you can't imagine the form of the Lord. Yes? Because you cannot imagine, say the third person we are talking about, he's going to come. You can describe him how he looks like, but ultimately, unless you don't look at him, you will not know what is he? How does he look like? So that realization. So the preliminary stages of meditation is to go from matter to spirit. Okay, you look at the sun, you look at the moon, okay, consider that as the... So your contemplation is on the Lord. But the form, the material form. And which is the bona fide process? One can do that. As I said before also, that once in my initial days of Krishna consciousness, I remember when I was in Pune and there was, it was around 7 o'clock, 7:15, And I was putting the tilak, and from that hut where we were living, bamboo hut behind, and there was the sun's rays coming inside. And I like nature and beauty and things like that. Naturally, everyone does. So looking at the sun's rays coming in, I was so inspired. I said, just look at the beauty of the sunrise. So there was a devotee, he was saying, Prabhu, you should not appreciate material things. Because if you do, you will be stuck in this material world. So I became okay. It stuck in my head. But then when I read the Srimad Bhagavatam, I realized that it is not so. You can appreciate material things. We become impressed, but here it is said that when you are impressed by seeing some material aspect of the nature, but we shouldn't stop there. Don't stop at being impressed. But look at that material object and remember Krishna, that it is the form of the Lord within this material world. He is the creator of this beauty in this material world. So how beautiful can the Lord be? So when you remember Krishna, then you are inspired. So we have to go from being impressed to remembering Krishna and being inspired. And that's why even in the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna asks this question. Keshu keshu cha bhaveshu chintosi bhagavan maya. How can I remember you while living in this world? So then Krishna says, the universal form, and describes everything amongst the immovable objects. I am the mountain amongst, I am the Meru amongst all tall objects. And so many things that when you look at this universe, we are not impersonalists or we are not Buddhists to say that nothing exists, everything is an illusion. To say that, oh, this doesn't exist or don't appreciate beauty is foolishness. That's probably another philosophy, a voidistic philosophy. And to say that the Lord has no form, that is an impersonal philosophy. But here is the right understanding, that if you see the beauty, if you see the universe, these are open-eyed, as you can say, meditations. You need not close your eyes always to meditate. You can open your eyes and meditate. But people are used to close-eyed meditation, so much so that even after coming to the temple, they'll sit in front of the Lord and they'll close their eyes and they are meditating. What is the need for that? If the Lord is standing in front of you, so why don't you open your eyes and take darshan? Why do you have to now close your eyes? If you are not here in the temple, if you are going somewhere else and there is no deity, there is no Radha Gopinath or Radha Kunj Bihari or Radha Ras Bihari, then you can close your eyes and remember the Lord, understandable. Or you can also observe and see the Lord's functioning. You can feel the air. You can. That is also a meditation. Yeah. So, and therefore we cannot imagine a form of the Lord. And that's why in the Bhagavatam, in Dhruva Maharaj, he says, Tiryan nagad dujasari srupa daiva daitya martyad bihi parijitam sadasad vishesham rupam stavishtam ajate mahadadyanekam natah param parama vedmi na yatravara. That I have seen all these forms of Tiryan, Naga, of animals, of trees, Dvijas, of birds, Sarisrupa, reptiles, lizards, crocodiles, Deva, Daitya. I have seen the gods, I have seen the demons. All these have been created by material energy, and they have been created, they have been destroyed, and I have seen this progress of this creation and destruction. Martyadibihi parichitam sadasad vishesha. But he says the rupam stavishtamajati mahadadhyanekam. But this form of the Lord, he is speaking to the Lord who has manifested himself in his spiritual form. He says that this form that I'm seeing for the first time. It's so amazing. It's second to none. As they say, second to none. Here is where it applies actually. There is no comparison. There's nothing in this world that you can be that your beauty can be compared to, that your form can be compared to. Of course, even though it is said that, you know, the form of the Lord resembles the human form, as it is said in the Bible also, that God has made man in His own image. In His own image. It's not that we have God-like forms, but actually humans have, it's not that God has human-like forms, but actually humans have God-like forms. Yes. So God has fashioned us similarly, like two eyes. Like if a sculptor is carving the form of the Lord, of Krishna, then he cannot put four hands. And that becomes Vishnu. He cannot put three eyes, and that becomes Shiva. He can't make it like a fish, that becomes probably Matsya. So there are these different, you know, there are specific descriptions, but general guidelines, yes, but not, you know, you can. So therefore now Guru Maharaj is saying that now that I have seen you personally, first hand, because the ultimate proof is your own experience. Ultimate proof is when you see God yourself. Therefore they say, the guru is, the bona fide guru is not that, that he tells you that what I have seen that you cannot see. You will not be able to see. I have seen it. You know, you don't know. No. That guru is the one who says, I have seen it and I will show you the path how you can also see it. Like say, two people are sitting on a trunk of jewels. And the man sitting on the trunk knows that he's sitting on a trunk of jewel, and he opens the trunk and he says that, look, this is the trunk of jewel. Look, these are the jewels. And that man, not other man, not knowing that he's also sitting on a trunk of jewel. Then he comes and sees, and that is Gyan. That is Gyan. Then when he goes and he tries to open the trunk on which he is sitting on, and then succeeds in it, and then opens it and sees the jewel, and that becomes Vigya. So, Guru Maharaj is having that realization of the Lord Himself, and therefore it is not a product of our imagination. We cannot. Because we have our conception of beauty, material sense of beauty, and that also changes. People get bored of something. Isn't it? I mean, I remember in the initial days of our Krishna consciousness, you know, we used to get Gita course, heard an anecdote that one lady, she dies and the Yamdutas take her to Yamraj, and Yamraj looks into a karmic bank account and says that this lady, you made a mistake. This lady has another 30 years to live. Take her back. And the Yamdutas bring her soul back, and she comes back to life, and she overhears that conversation between Yamdutas and Yamraj, and thinking that she has another 30 more years to live, she decides to live life at its fullest. So she decides to have a facelift and, you know, plastic surgery and things like that. So she goes and she gets that done, and she comes out of the hospital only to be hit by a truck and again dying. Yamdutas come and again take her soul and to the Yamraj, and Yamraj again opens the book and sees her karmic account and says, why have you brought her again? I told you she has got 30 years to live. So the Yamdutas again look at her and she says that, you know, these doctors these days do such a great job that I could not recognize it was the same person. So therefore we brought her. Basically. So the thing is, the conception of beauty also changes. You see, the soul himself cannot be represented in this material world. Today people are even sculpting themselves. Is it not? That's called as body sculpting these days. People go and work out and people change a different conception of beauty. In India people would like something like a light colored skin, you know, not too black, not too probably white also, that is considered probably disease or something. People in the West, they are too white, they want something like a shade, you know, tannish or something like that. So conception of beauty is so different. So if you have to really imagine a form of the Lord, then you would naturally be inclined to put a material, give a material form to the Lord, which is not right, because the Lord is the way He is. So therefore, it is said that the Lord will manifest on His own. You don't have to visualize something which, because the mind cannot contemplate something which is beyond its experience. If you see a mountain, you see a bird, your mind will manufacture something like a flying mountain. That's only because, you know, he has seen a bird, he has seen a mountain, but he may just, so the product of the mind just produces something based on its experience. But if the mind has not experienced something at all, how is it possible for him to come up with a... So therefore, in the Parikshit, Shukdev Goswami is making an elaborate description, not expecting that he will follow this path, because it's a very difficult process, first of all. Even to understand these verses takes time to visualize, contemplate, reading again and again. So therefore, actually what Shukdev Goswami wanted Parikshit Maharaj to do was take up to that process which he mentioned of Naam Sankirtan, Katha Shravan, Tasmat Bharat Sarvatma Bhagavan Ishvaro Hari Shrotavya Kirtitavyascha Smartavyascha Bhavayam. Hear about Krishna, chant about Krishna, and remember Krishna. Out of all other processes, the remembrance of Krishna is the most important standalone process, which does not depend on any other process. Even hearing depends on something. Kirtan depends on something. Like for example, your hearing, what does hearing actually indicate? That the sound vibrations are going into your eardrum. Is that hearing? Or what is kirtan? Is just the words coming out of your mouth. Is that kirtan? Well, then a person who is sleeping in the class is probably also hearing. But it's not like that. Or there are materialistic people who are speaking about Krishna and Bhagavatam. So is that speaking? So therefore, there is always a dependence. But smartavyam, so that is one thing which you cannot fake it. So much so that smartavyam is glorified so much that even if you think of the Lord in a unfavorable way, it will still do good to you. If you take it to that extent, like Shishupal, for that matter, you know, they were thinking of Krishna in a negative way, but they had done it to such an extent that they were so filled with thoughts of Krishna that also became the cause of their liberation. So a very easy process, a very simple process, and at the same time not simplistic. Path of bhakti is simple but not simplistic, and we can understand that is because it is said that there is a condition when you do practice these simple processes. And what is that? That process is not to offend the holy name. And in that one rule of not offending the holy name, then there are 10, and then there are again 10, and then there are 6, and then there are 5, and it goes on and on. So therefore, taking care of all those things that we should not be doing, that makes it a challenge. To surrender one's free will is definitely not easy for the conditioned soul. To surrender to a guru, to be humble, and all these things seem like very easy. It takes a second, and that's why. Because Parikshit Maharaj has only 7 days. So surrendering is easy. Even if he wants to do it, if he decides to do it, he can immediately do it. Because surrender does not take time. Immediately he says, okay, I'll follow. The day he says, I'll become obedient to you, that day he is liberated. 1 second. But if he wants to practice and perfect all the asanas and all the processes of Ashtanga, there are 8 processes, even if you consider that it takes 1 day to perfect each yam, niyam, asan, pranayam, it will still take 8 days, but he is only living for 7 days. So therefore there is no chance that he can ever perfect Ashtanga yoga in 7 days. One asan takes so much time, just to be able to sit. I personally prefer sitting on the chair, basically. You know, I mean, so devotees can do so many things. So many options. You sit, you chant, you walk, no problem. Anything, as long as you are remembering Krishna, chanting Hare Krishna,
Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama.
So therefore, it is doable. And in a way, he's making that contrast, that look, that's how difficult this process is. And thus you can conclude that Bhakti Yoga is a very easy process, because it takes qualifications to do this yoga. Ashtang Yoga takes very great qualifications. You must have a good body, physical body, should be healthy, should be courageous, and all that has already been described in the Gita. You have to go into the forest. Shuchau deshe pratishthapya sthiram asanam atmanah natini cham natu. And all those, you know, chailajana kushottaram. Go into the forest, isolate yourself. And who can do all these things? Brahmachari vritam, follow the brahmacharya principles. So, obviously, not for everyone. That yoga system is meant for the three classes, the Brahmanas, Kshatriyas and Vaishyas, mostly. And Sukhdev Goswami wanted to present a technique which will be applicable to all the classes. Not just the Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, but the Shudras, Mlechhas, Yavanas, all different outcasts. Anyone can practice this path of Bhakti Yoga. Clearly, this is not for everyone, path of yoga. And therefore, the path of Shravan, Kirtan and Smaran, that is the Bhagavat method, is the method for all, the easiest, most doable, most practical and the most potent. Doesn't mean that something is simple means it has to, it's not so powerful. No. I remember many years ago, Sridhar Swami Maharaj was once giving us a class, and he said that something which is simple does not necessarily mean that it is not powerful. And he gave the example of binary numbers. Digital. See? Digital is what? Basically zeros and ones. So that's what is the foundation of a computer. But today computers have become so powerful. But what is the basis? The basis is just zeros and ones. Not even hexadecimal. Forget about decimal, you know. All those things, octadecimal, whatever is the other number systems. Only two digits, zeros and ones. And that's it. You have a computer which can do amazing things. So also, it is just chanting and hearing. And that is sufficient. But that also people hesitate and think, oh, kaise kare? So, the process is to simply chant, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. And to avoid offenses, regularly hear Srimad Bhagavatam. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Thank you.
Thank you.